CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Seafaring men have always a good bit of the unknown about them. Sailors for centuries have had great respect for the unyielding sea. And in Cornwall, where this tale by Conan Doyle begins, Cornish sailors have always said, those ships which will not be ruled by the rudder must be ruled by the rock. What's that you say? Shipwreck? Yes. The one word that strikes fear into every sailor's heart.
Who's that letter from, Father?
Your Uncle Arthur. He wants you to go up to the North Country and pay him a visit, William.
Well, I could do that, couldn't I?
He's not the kind of man I'd like you to visit. He says be sure you bring your gun with you.
A gun? But why?
Because Arthur is up to his old tricks, I expect. And his tricks spell death.
Our mystery drama, The Black Sheep and the Captain, by A. Conan Doyle, was adapted especially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis and stars Jack Grimes. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores. I'll be back shortly with Act One. You can find descendants of the Hutchins family still today, living in Land's End on the Cornish coast of England, just as they did when Arthur Hutchins had his provisions store on Water Street. Provisions in those days meant groceries for sailors and seamen. But Arthur also provided extra services, which went on in the back of the store. Nobody in Land's End was quite sure what Arthur was up to. There were also mysterious signals from the lighthouse, no matter what the weather. On those nights, Arthur kept his shop open very late.
Hello, Arthur. Anyone here?
It's Captain Tanner. Hey, come in, sir.
I shall do just that.
That a good voyage, Captain Tanner?
So-so.
Profitable?
Not as profitable as the last one.
You remain in port for long?
That depends. Perhaps I shall retire.
You give up your ship?
I've sailed 40 years since I was 10.
Well, you're just in your prime, Captain.
I know I am. That's why, now that I have the money, I aim to enjoy it. A little farm down the Cornwall coast. Some sheep, cows. I say, on £1,000, I could manage comfortably the rest of the day.
Who couldn't?
You couldn't, you dear Arthur. Your neighbors couldn't, nor your relatives. But I can, because you're making it possible, eh? Well, now, don't keep an old sailor hanging from the yard arm. Let me have what I came for.
You mean now?
You know why I'm here.
Well, of course I do. But I was just wondering...
What is it? Surely you got an excellent price.
I was thinking, Captain, could you come back later?
Later tonight? Why?
I'm afraid the news isn't good.
What news?
About your retirement.
Arthur, I don't understand you, and my nose is beginning to itch. You know what that means.
No, please, don't lose your temper, Captain Turner. I can explain it.
When my nose itches, it means a fight. Now, all I'm saying is, stop this ring around the road. Here, let me have what belongs to me.
I wish I could. But what happened was, a week after you left them with me, this place was robbed. Ransacked.
What?
Please, Captain Tanner. Get away from it. Move, move away. Help. My name is William Hutchins. Arthur Hutchins was my uncle. I was only 10 years old when some man he'd been dealing with attacked him without mercy, smashed 3 ribs and left him with a broken hip and a broken leg. Being only 10 at the time, I scarcely knew anything about it, or my uncle. He his name was never mentioned in our house until I was 20 years old. And then I found out why.
I had a very strange letter today, William.
Son, you listen to me.
Well, of course I am, Father.
Why was it strange? Who was it from?
Oh, the black sheep of the family.
Uncle Arthur?
Your Uncle Arthur. I don't hear one word from my brother for 10 whole years. And suddenly out of the blue, he writes.
He never wrote?
Not even when your mother died. And Arthur used to like her very much. Your Uncle Arthur was an extremely secretive man, and I suspect has quite a packet of money. Maybe he thought if he wrote me, I'd have my hand out, eh? Oh, maybe he's hiding, that could be. I often thought about Arthur and what happened to him after he left Land's End.
He lived here?
Oh, yes, had a big store down by the quay. Mm-hmm. Everyone in town and from the ships would buy from him, groceries, tackle, what have you. A general store.
Did he have a wife?
No, never married. I guess, William, to answer your question why we've been estranged for so long, all I can say is his way and my way are not the same. Oh, not that I ever had any proof, but there was talk.
About what?
That sailors would bring stolen goods to him and he'd sell them for him.
Well, did Uncle Arthur know it was stolen?
Oh, if he did, it didn't bother him. Then this man came into his store 10 years ago, a sea captain he was, and he beat up your uncle so badly that finally, when everything healed, one foot was 3 inches shorter than the other.
Oh, maybe that's why he went away. He thought the man would come back.
Oh, they got the man. They gave him a good long term at Dartmoor.
Well, are you going to tell me about his letter? What does he say? What does he want?
He wants you to visit him. And to be sure to bring a gun. He says, if your son William is as stout a lad as he promised to be when I last saw him 10 years ago, send him up to me by the first train after you receive this. He'll find out that to serve me will be very worth his while.
I could go, you know, Father. I have another 2 weeks of spring vacation before I'm due back at the university.
Well, if we can, we'll see. No, farewell. Oh, yes. If I pass away, oh, thank the Lord, there is no reason to complain as to my health. You will see that I have not forgotten my brother's son.
Is he rich?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. Don't ask me how he made his money. It certainly wasn't in eggs, bacon, butter, and hardtack. Then he goes on to say, St. Anne's is the railroad station, and then a drive of 4 miles to Mink House, where I live. I will send a pony cart to meet the 7 o'clock train, for it is the only one that stops here. Let bygones be bygones. If there has been anything between us in the past, if you should fail me now, you will live to regret it.
Well, good morning, Father. I thought I'd be on my way.
So, William, you decided to go.
He is my uncle, isn't he?
Yes, but I didn't care for his threats.
Oh, maybe that's just his way.
And I didn't like him saying you should bring a gun. He sounds like the same old Arthur to me.
What's the difference? I borrowed Mr. Warbury's gun. He even gave me the ammunition for it. He's glad to let me have it.
But you don't even know how to aim a gun.
I can learn.
My boy going off like this, you're crazy.
I'd better start. It's an hour's walk to the Land's End Station. I'll answer, Father. What's this? A telegram for you, Father. Thanks for bringing it over, Mr. Sharp. Now, what should say, Father?
Well, it's from Arthur.
Oh?
On no account let William get out of St. Anne's. He will find a pony cart waiting at 7:15 at Steading Ridge, one station further down the line. He'll be taken to the Garth farmhouse. He will receive instructions. Do not fail me. Don't forget to have William bring gun. Good hunting, Arthur.
You, Willem Hutchins.
I beg your pardon?
Willem Hutchins, that be you.
Oh, yes.
Hudson sent to fetch you.
Oh, yes. Your God. Is that Farmer God? I'll carry these. Where's the cart? I'd like to get out of this rain as soon as I can.
This way.
Miserable weather. This.
I had my horse and cart over by those trees. Couldn't bring the pony. She was lame.
Horse and cart? I don't see them.
Back. Didn't want no one to see.
Why didn't you drive up to the station?
Mr. Arthur, he said, no account of anyone to see you. That bag heavy?
No. I can manage. Nobody told me I should bring an umbrella. Does it always rain like this?
Ever since I was a boy.
Beautiful country, though.
Oh, yes, beautiful. This part of England wouldn't be a bad place to live if they put a roof over.
It's an open trough. Oh, it's safe.
It's only 6 miles.
I'm beginning to think my father was right.
What was that?
I said to me, William, he said, you're crazy.
Get up.
I thought you said it was only 6 miles. How far have we come?
Two and a bit.
Look, there's a man running across the moor.
I don't like that.
Big, burly fellow. I would like to meet up with him on a dark night.
You're going to. He's coming right for us.
He's waving. He wants us to stop.
Not stopping for him.
I might. Are you in the wagon?
Oh, we can't leave the man standing in the rain like this.
Wait a minute,
my horse.
Stop a minute.
There's enough room to take another man.
Hey, mate, where are you bound for?
Goss Farm.
Oh, which way is that?
Come this way.
Now, if you'd been going my way, I should have made bold to ask you for the passage.
Penchurch, eh?
Well, that's not where I'm headed for. You know the way to St. Anne's.
Over there, somewhere.
Get up.
You were so ignorant.
Get up.
He's a sailor. Now, what's a sailor doing out in the moors?
Yeah, we're but a few miles from Morecambe Bay. I don't have much to do with sailors. Keep away from them. Don't like them.
Now, you seemed frightened of that one.
Perhaps I was. I've got good reason to be.
I'd never dry out. Ah, that's a good fire you've got here.
I was told to feed your tea, let you rest, and someone will come by and take you to your Uncle Arthur.
Well, it seems silly for me to hang about here when I could be on my way. After the first 6 miles, the next 4 miles are nothing.
You're mighty anxious to see Mr. Arthur.
Now, why don't you show me the road to take it? It's not raining.
Mr. William, you seem like a nice young fellow, so I'll give you some good advice. Go back home. Let me take you back to the railroad, and you get on the next train back to where you come from.
I couldn't do that to my uncle. What is it you're warning me against, Mr. Garth?
What you don't know can't hurt you.
Something to do with that sailor. I can't leave now. Mr. Arthur, as you call him, he's my uncle. If he needs me, I want to be there.
If you value your life, you turn around and go back to where you come from.
Our story is getting curiouser and curiouser, as Alice used to say in Wonderland. Only this is no fairy tale. The moors of the north of England and those who live there are like creatures from another world. In short, Conan Doyle is saying, watch out for the unexpected. I shall return shortly with Act Two. To those who have never traveled the moors, picture rocks and sand covered with heather, bracken, coarse grass, moss, and peat bogs. A wasteland, empty and desolate. Clumps of dark green trees. The only color, the rich purple of heaven. Here on the moors lives Uncle Arthur. Here, waiting to be taken to his house, is nephew William. 9:00. 10:00.
and then the storm.
Who?
Connery, your uncle's manservant. He's here, Connery. 7 minutes. You wish to come in?
No. Let it be started.
Ah, nice night.
Thank heaven for it. No one will be about here in such weather.
I'm William Hutchins.
Got your name?
Well, I have what I brought.
Give him here, I'll carry them.
Well, I'd like to say that.
Oh, let him. That's his work. Mind you, stay close to him now.
Mr. Conley, I don't suppose you brought an umbrella.
Will you listen to him now? An umbrella. These are not the streets of London.
Well, at least I was dry for an hour or two.
Better off wet than dead. Come along with you.
My uncle was just a few miles from the farm.
I've taken a long way round to Link House. It's the safer way.
Connery. Your name is Connery.
I see.
Have you known my uncle a long time?
Since you were a foot high, Master Wiggins. What am I saying? Years before that?
You knew me when I was a baby?
Aye, that I did.
You've been working for my uncle for at least 20 years.
Oh, aye. Longer than that.
It's always mysterious going on. Can you tell me?
I'm not the same, Master William.
Stop, my boy. Stop. Why are you pulling me here?
The life that beyond this friend will make merry a sound.
I see him. That man with the lantern.
I don't know. One of them, probably. Up with
him. Right behind you. He said that big man was one of them.
Who are they?
I don't know. Come off it, Conley. A great big man in a seaman's coat carrying a lantern, smoking the pipe upside down, and you don't know who he is? Then why hide ourselves
there watching you, Power? Your uncle is cleared of them. That's why he told me to be clear of them. And that's why I've been dodging the long road. Now look there. See? That's it.
Is that Uncle Arthur's house? Up ahead?
Move carefully now. Don't want him to take us for strangers and shoot us.
Why is it all dark? Is my uncle inside?
He can see out. But no one can see him.
Oh, there.
That's him. It's I.
Who? What? Who is it, I say?
It's me, Connery. I've brought the young gentleman.
We were pulled inside quickly. The door closed behind us and bolted with two iron bars and a crossbar of wood. My uncle lit the lantern. Was this man my uncle? His bloated face, those red pig-like eyes. This was my father's own brother? Here I was, face to face with a stranger. And all I could think of, he's the black sheep of the family.
Ah, so, nephew, you've come at last. You must be hungry, William. Connery, may take the food. Come over by the fire and take off your wet things.
I don't expect I'll ever be dry again. I feel like a fish.
You've got a sense of humor. I like that. Connery,
food, hurry.
Yes, Master, that seems to be along presently.
I've had Connery with me for 25 years. There's no hurrying him. When he's ready, he's ready. Oh, you sit there, William. I'll be right back. I want to get something to show you.
I suddenly became aware of my uncle's limp. I remember the story of his having been so severely attacked that one foot had become shorter than the other. On his short leg, he wore a 3-inch wooden platform boot.
There it is. Look at the sign. What does it say?
Arthur Hutchins, Provisions.
That sign hung outside my store in Land's End for 25 years. I took it down when I left. Took it with me. I came up here to live on the moors. That sign, it reminds me always of the life I had. Pitiful, isn't it? 25 years and only a piece of wood and paint to remember them by.
You miss those days, Uncle?
I never look back. The message over my shoulder to see who's coming at me with a knife. Ah, Connery, set the plate in front of his nephew William. Strong, stabbing boy, indeed. You did right to send for him, Connery. Oh, you like cold mutton?
Oh, yes, anything.
Connery, you'd better go and pack him. We want everything in ship-shape by tomorrow evening.
I see you've got a great many boxes against the wall.
Yes, all packed and corded. Yes, William, tomorrow night, I shall be rid of these moors. Now, while you have your supper, I'll tell you about it. I can see you're the right sort. You can be tested. First, here's the morning news. Now, where is it? Connery, that newspaper, where is it?
On the trestle table, Master Watson.
Aye, I'm sure it is, isn't it? Now, look at this. It's 10, 11 days old. Do you know what it says?
No, what should I be looking at?
He's out. Out of Dartmoor. 6 months before his sentence was served.
What? Who is he?
You see this foot? It's his daughter, it is. That's his mark. He's been doing time for that. Now, he's out. And he's after me again.
Why should he be after you?
Because he wants to kill me. He thinks I've wronged him. Back in Flanagan 10 years ago. Him and his friends. They're after me.
Who are his friends?
Yes. I knew they'd come when I saw that in the papers. And sure enough, about 2 days after it came out, I was looking through that window, and 3 of them were standing, looking at the house. It was right after that I wrote to Father.
Father said I was daft to come here, but he didn't stop me.
They're out there. They found me and marked me down. Now they're just waiting for him.
Why don't you send for the police?
Police are no use. I've got you. You are the one that can help me.
What can I do?
See those boxes?
Yes?
By tomorrow night, everything will be packed and ready to go. I've got friends in Leeds. And I'll be safer there. Not safe, mind you, but safer.
So tomorrow you're leaving?
At night. You stand by me, young man, and you'll never regret it. What do you do?
Well, I'm going to the university. I'd like to study law.
I'll see that you can. It takes money, lawyer education, you know that. Tomorrow night, Garth will bring the big farm wagon round, and you and me and Connery will stand up in it with our guns all the way to St. Anne's Station. Did you see any of them fellas on the moors when you came up?
Saw one with the rings in his ears.
I know him. He's one of them. His name's Enoch. Friend of the captain's.
They're watching. Then when Connery brought me here, there was another sailor.
Huh? What was he like?
Oh, he's a great big man. He must have been 6 foot tall. He was smoking a pipe.
A pipe? How is he smoking it?
Upside down.
That's him. That's what he does. Smoke from the bridge of the ship, that way.
Well, I thought because it was raining he smoked his pipe upside down.
Did you see his face?
Yes, he had lots of freckles and a sharp, pointed nose. I could see by his
answer. That's him. That's him there. It's him. Oh, heaven protect me now. I can't sit still and get like this, like a rat in a trap. What am I going to do?
Uncle, you're living in a civilized country. There is a law if people threaten you. Now, let me drive over to the county police station tomorrow morning.
No, it's too late.
And I'll see that those sailors are taken care of.
No. He's coming. He's cruel. You keep me this time for sure. There's only one chance. We must leave what we haven't packed. Leave the first thing tomorrow morning. Let's see what's that.
I'll go.
Take your gun.
Who's there? Who's there, I said? Do you hear me?
Look out the corner of the shutters.
I don't see anyone. It's pitch black. There's no one.
Wait. There's something under the door there. Look.
And it might.
Oh, there is.
Here.
Look, it's a note.
There's something written on it.
Read it to me. I don't have my glasses. What does it say?
Oh, I can't make it out quite. I want to get closer to the fire. And yes, it says, put them on the doorstep and save your skin. That's all.
What do they want?
Oh, what they'll never have. By all the powers in heaven, never. What's mine is mine. I shall never give them up. Connery! Connery!
Yes, Mr. Hudson.
Connery, I've been a good master to you all your life, House Talbot. 25 years, quarter of a century. That's longer than most folks get along.
What do you want me to do now?
You know the back way to the Garth farm better than anyone. Go there now. Tell him I must have the wagon by daylight, before the cock crows.
Not to wait until tomorrow night.
Not unless he wants his wagon to carry the dead. My nephew tells me they're all about us. And the captain is here, yes, here. Somewhere on the moor.
He would be the one with the pipe we saw on the road.
There's no time to talk, Connery. Well, we must get clear of this, or we're done for. Now, remember, Connery, the wagon here, first thing in the morning. Here, take my black coat. And move slowly. And they'll never see you.
Here was the house. It was everywhere. Uncle Arthur blew out the lantern in the back passage, carefully unbarred the back door, let Connery out, and barred it up again. I went to the small hall window and saw Connery like a black shadow. He disappeared into the woods and vanished.
Only those who have walked through the desolate moors in the north of England at night know how terrifying and how lonely they can be. There is Uncle Arthur, a hunted man. His nephew is William, who came for adventure but who faces unknown revenge. And out there, somewhere, waiting, a mysterious avenger. More when we return shortly with Act 3. The old man with the red, runny eyes, Uncle Arthur. The man nobody liked. Where did he make his money? Was he a Scrooge or a scourge? His nephew, young William, doesn't really care. Uncle Arthur is in trouble. Uncle Arthur needs him. So, when he says,
"Will you help me, William?" What a question to ask. Of course I will. We're kin. Like it or not, Uncle, we have to stick together.
You're a good lad. And now, William, we have only a few hours before daylight. You'll never regret this night's work. If we come through safely, it will be the making of you. You stand by me till morning, and I'll stand by you while there is breath in my body. Now, are you frightened?
More than I've ever been. Never mind.
It's right. Tell me.
I wish I knew what I was defending and why.
The less you know, the better for you. The wagon will be here by 5. Not as impact, leave behind. We've only to load up and wait for the early train to take on.
Will they let us go?
In broad daylight, they won't dare stop us. I have 2 guns, one for Connery, one for myself, and you have yours. 3 guns. They can make it guns, common ordinary sailor rope. It's 2 or 2 at the most.
Uncle, if you won't tell me what you've done to those men, can I know what it is that they want?
Don't ask questions, William, and just do as I ask you.
Help me!
Oh, we have to do something.
I need that lantern.
No,
you hold it. Go to the window and shine it through the shutters.
I'm holding it to the window.
What do you see?
I see Connery in his black shirt. Turning around in a circle. Stop. Now someone just cut him off. He's turning.
Oh.
He's coming this way now, right to the front door.
I'll open the door. This way, Connery. Come this way.
It wasn't Connery who came in that door. It was the tall man I'd seen with the pipe on the road. The man Uncle Arthur called the captain. Behind him stood four sailors. I recognized the one with the earrings. They were ugly and menacing. Uncle Arthur turned white as a sheet.
Good evening, Mr. Atkins. Look at him, lad. What would you say is written on his face? Guilt or fight?
It is Captain Connor. It's you.
Yes, it's me. All right, Arthur. I borrowed your man's cape, but inside it is me. Lad, let's step forward into the fire. Close the door behind you. Well, whatever is the matter with your foot, Arthur? Lad, will you look at our dear old friend? He's wearing some strange kind of boot. Is that the latest fashion in these parts?
It's you, Tanner, who done this to me. And question if you will.
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, and who might you be, young sir?
Well, I have...
Speak out, or we'll find a way to make you.
I'm Will Hutchins. I'm his nephew.
Are you now? Well, I wish the joy of your uncle and your visit, too. We shan't be staying long, the lads and I, will we, lads?
Just in and out like an oar in the sea. Ah,
Tanner.
Captain Tanner, if you please.
When did you get out of Dartmoor?
Quite recently. For good behavior. For saving a warden's eye. So they commuted me 6 months. I thought, with all that freedom, what should I do? So I gathered my mates about me, and we went to Land's End to visit our old storekeeper. And keeper of other interesting things, eh? Well, imagine our surprise to walk down Water Street, and where Arthur Hutchins' sign used to hang, is now a pub.
I'm sorry about Dartmoor.
10 years for teaching a lesson is a long time. What's the hour, Enoch?
It's late. Very late.
We must be aboard before morning. Now then, any ideas what to do with Peg-Leg?
Price him up, I say. He'll talk.
Any other ideas? I was never a stubborn captain. I always listened to one of my crew if he had a good idea.
I could twist his arm ever so slowly.
Uncle, you give them what they want, whatever it is.
Never.
So you won't tell us, eh? Enoch, draw the boy up. And then give me an hand here. I think my old friend needs a little persuasion.
They seized my uncle and pulled his coat and shirt over his shoulders. He sat slumped in the chair, his body shaking with cold and fear. Then they lifted him and tied each of his wrists to one of the hooks where the smoked meat was.
Captain, I think my belt could make an impression on your friend.
You cowards to beat an old man.
There'll be two next if you don't restrain your tongue, boy.
All right, I'm ready, Captain. Arthur, would you care for one more chance to save your eyes?
I tell you, there is stolen for me years ago.
Oh, he's a stubborn one, isn't he?
You leave us no choice, old friend. Have at it, Enoch.
You coward.
Oh, my, such language. Would you like us to tie your feet as well as your hands will? Go ahead, Enoch. Swing the belt.
Oh, sentry.
I can't stand it.
Oh, that belt never came near you.
No, talk.
You see? Come on, you Arthur. Wouldn't listen to me.
Let me down. Take it off these hooks.
My wrist. Now tell what we've come for. Where are they?
I'll tell you.
Of course you will. Where, did you say?
In my bedroom.
Where was that, please?
Remember?
Come along, old friend, and show us.
Oh, I don't feel too well.
What's that?
He doesn't feel well, don't you hear him? You ought to be strung up, all of you, torturing this poor old man.
Why, no one's laid a hand on him.
Well, let him be.
Let me just... Rest your spell, Captain Tanner.
I wish I could trust you, Arthur, but I can't. My lads and I come all the way from Morecambe Bay because I promised them. It isn't as if I'm not the kind of man who doesn't trust people. Because I do. But not after they've tried to cheat me. Now, I'm not letting you slip into while we're upstairs looking. On your feet, Arthur, up the stairs you go. Help him, lad.
Uncle Arthur caught my eye for a moment, and I knew that look. He hadn't given up. The sailors dragged him upstairs. I was alone, my hands tied, but not my feet. Should I stay and try to help him? Or run for it, get the police to stop these rascals before they reach the sea?
Stop him! Stop the old man!
Uncle! Oh, Lord!
It's a knife. It was no doing of ours. The old man threw himself out the upstairs window, that's the truth.
Oh, you brute!
Neck broke.
You killed him. You killed him.
No, we didn't. He wouldn't come across. He told us what he stole was in here, and while we were searching, he thought he could escape.
You forced it to us.
What's he accusing us of?
Murder, that's what.
And who's to say so? You young fella.
Yes, are you going to be a witness against us?
So is Knox. The old robber jumped to his death to escape, getting back what he owed. It's not our fault, believe me, have you? The worst we ever met was to frighten him and maybe take a little skin off.
But how do we know what the boy will say?
Badge, we have no quarrel with the boy.
You may have no quarrel with him, Captain, but he has his quarrel with us. He'll swear all eyes away if we don't stop his dying.
Look, what's that down there by the old man's foot? You see something shining? Hey, Knock, hold that blessed lower. Hold it over the boot with the built-up stone near.
What?
It's split open.
Yes,
and look what's come out of it.
Diamond. Just like you told us. Diamond! He had him in his shoes! Look at him, where is he?
Run, my boy, run for your life and don't look back to live long.
I ran. I found Connolly. They tied him up and taken his cloak and left him in the woods. We found our way to the farm. The sailors? They escaped. I stayed on at St. Anne's for the funeral and... then I made Conley come back with me to Land's End. He had no place to go, no one to take care of him.
Well, William, we can't afford to have a guest in the house.
But we can't just throw him out. He was more than a servant, Uncle Arthur. Please, Father.
Oh, don't talk to me about him. A man who never did anything for anybody. Oh, Connolly has got to go.
You work, Father. There are odd jobs. He's worked all his life.
Excuse me, sir. I heard what you said. And of course, I shouldn't wish to outstay my welcome. But I have something here which might interest you.
What is it, Connolly?
Master William, could you undo the string on this leather bag? My fingers aren't as nimble as they used to be. Thank you. I'll just open it onto this table.
What are they?
They're not diamonds. Yes, they are, Mr. Hutchins. Two fine stones.
So large. How did you come by them, Connolly?
11 years ago, a steamer from South Africa foundered at sea. She had some very fine diamonds invoiced aboard. And soon after that, Captain Tanner arrived at Land's End and brought your brother a packet of diamonds to sell for him. Now, how he came by them, nobody knows. Was he on the ship that went down? Was he on a pirateer that boarded and sank the South African ship? He never told anyone. Your brother decided to keep them. I told him not to do it, but he wouldn't take heed of me. And when the captain came by the next time, your brother said they had been stolen.
Well, I must say, sounds like Arthur. He was always greedy.
He said the diamonds had a peculiar hold on him. He would take them out and look at them. He simply couldn't let them go. When he told the captain they'd been stolen, of course the captain didn't believe that. He beat him sorely.
Now Uncle Arthur is no more. Whatever he did, he didn't deserve to die.
Master William, do you remember that evening when he sent me to Garth's farm? That's when he gave me these two stones. He said, they're for you, Master William.
for me.
He said you would know how to spend them.
You see, Father?
And I must say, William, I am surprised. Perhaps I never really knew Arthur. Perhaps he wasn't such a black sheep after all.
If not a black sheep, then Arthur Hutchins was a strange mixture of generosity and greed. Too bad that he never learned that wise old saying, riches have made more greedy men than greed has made men rich. But that's the way it is, isn't it? Avariciousness never stops until it is too late. More on this with, perhaps, a word to the wise when I return shortly. From time to time, I think I have recalled for you the wisdom of my dear grandmother. Of today's tale, I'm sure she would have said, "The profits of ill-gotten gains are empty. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Black sheep, whoever you are, take note. Our cast included Jack Grimes, Ray Owens, Jackson Beck, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.